Welcome to Hashtime with Navguzi Chiwanuka. This is a place where we help you unravel social constructs, discuss self-development in line with mental health, emotional well-being, and everything in between that directly or indirectly affects us in the millennial world around us. If you're hearing my voice for the first time and are the kind of person who is not scared of being a better version of yourself, even if it requires you to contradict who you were 24 hours ago, consider this your virtual home. I'm your host, Navguzi Chiwanuka, and I cannot wait to engage with you in the various conversations. So the guest for today's conversation is none other than Mitch Isavivye. Mitch is not only a talented poet, writer, and spoken word artist, but also an environmentalist. In this episode, we shall mostly be exploring Mitch's artistic journey from his early influences to his current creative process. Join us as we uncover the inspirations, challenges, and pivotal moments that have shaped Mitch's unique voice and style. Let's dive into it. Hi, Mitch.
Hello.
Katata Vesia.
Hello.
Are you increasing your voice?
I'm just close to the microphone.
Yeah. Mitch, welcome to Hashtime with Navguzi Chiwanuka.
It has been a long time coming, but I'm a tall fan of the podcast.
A long time coming, I'm Nagani.
Not like for real.
Introduce yourself to the listener. Let us hear from who is behind the other microphone.
I'm human. I'm not a robot.
You're sounding like Robocop. Did you know Robocop?
Okay, you're so old. Things are so...
It is okay.
Yeah, I'll go back and check in the 80s movies. But yeah, I don't know Robocop.
Oh my goodness.
I'm a positive person.
Yeah.
I'm a writer of life. That's how I try to refer myself. I'm like, yeah. People are living life. I'm trying to witness. I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm a Musoga.
Yeah.
I'm a Musoga. I come from Kasokoso. Yeah, Kasokoso.
Kasokoso is in Musoga?
No, somewhere. Some neighborhood in Chireka, Kasokoso.
Okay.
Yeah. Then what else? Am I supposed to talk about my marital status?
Tell us.
Yeah, I'm in Kampala.
What is that supposed to mean?
No, like Kampala. Like Kampala is a marital status.
How?
Give us context. You're doing this and that. Like, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Kampala is not a place for love. It's a place where people are working. So, yeah.
So when are you going to work on love? You have to first leave Kampala?
No, I'm open whenever it comes. I'm ready to embrace it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the young Mitch like?
I was tall and skinny. Hungry.
But you're still tall.
But...
You have a little beef.
Yeah, but I was skinny. Not like super skinny. For real. And how I looked like, I don't know.
It's not really physical.
Yeah.
Were you playful? Were you talkative? Was it?
It actually depends on the surrounding around me. Sometimes I can be reserved, like super reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for those who don't know me, then sometimes I'm so loud. But
you are so loud?
Yeah, I got into trouble. I used to talk. The difference is lately I get paid to talk. Then
I guess you got good training. No one shut you down.
Then I got into trouble.
What kind of trouble?
As a child, I was. I kept doing the same mistakes, actually. Today I'm okay, the next day I do the same thing. Yeah. One thing I remember, my mama, before she slept on a Sunday, she would even warn me. I want to have a rest. Please keep quiet. No, like seriously. But yeah.
Did you feel like you were interfering with her rest, or was she interfering with your personality?
No, like it would work for the past 5 minutes, but
five.
Yeah, the next few minutes, I'm banging on the window. Now it's different. I'm grown. We struggle to have conversations, and that's the reality of
life. Is it?
Yeah, it is actually.
But did you have the conversations growing up?
Yeah. You know, one thing that puzzles me is at what time do we change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At what age, at what... Because there is an age where the relationship between you and your parents is super smooth. But somehow, you know, things start falling apart. And when you grow up, adulthood kicks in and what. But we communicate where there is need, but you're not so open to them. But sometimes I think it's, I don't blame them because they are also being parents for the first time. But it's like the way we are raised, parents want us to understand them more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not vice versa. So, yeah, that's the route we take. We focus on what they want. And
you just found yourself lost somewhere? Is that something that you're trying to communicate?
Maybe I found myself lost in a bit trying to find myself. Like it's a bit weird and crazy. So yeah,
that part.
But we are trying because she follows the art. My old man follows the art and what. But yeah, the conversations, you know, still far-fetched a bit.
What do they say about the art? Do they understand it?
My dad, he will he buys papers and what. He'll be like, "Yeah, are you getting money? Yeah."
Are you getting money?
No, as long as I'm getting paid. No, like for real. Then,
oh my God.
Then, my mom.
Yeah.
Actually, my mom, she's deliberate. My mom is on TikTok.
Ooh.
But the way, so like it's every Sunday she has this pattern like between 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time for TikTok.
An hour?
Yeah, an hour. Every Sunday. She gets her glasses. Gets her phones, like then data and what, then she's on TikTok for an hour. Oh, so she will try to check for everything. And that. So if the hour is done, till next Sunday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wish we had that kind of control of our social media. I wish we had that level of control, but it's only our parents.
It is a job.
It's only our parents that have that kind of... So when you come to... the industry of art.
Yeah.
Because you've talked about yourself as a writer of life.
Yeah, sure.
But now we are looking at the side of professionalism.
Yeah.
When we are growing up, there are all these questions about what do you want to be growing up? I think this question starts coming up to us from as early as primary one or even earlier, I don't know. They start... building us around those conversations. What is it that you wanted to be?
All I remember, I was fascinated with cars.
Cars?
Yeah, I think that was like primary one or what. So I remember one time I drew, it didn't make sense at that time, but I drew my car and I put I want to be a driver. And I remember this conversation with my old man. He kept asking me, "Are you sure this is what you want to do?" Because all I wanted was like, I need a nice car and what. So to me, it was like, this is the route I want to take. But,
yeah.
But it has been a series. At some point, you want to be a doctor or what. But yeah.
Where did you end up?
I ended up being alive.
Alive?
No, that is a full-time job. Staying alive and sane, yeah. Ended up being alive.
If you have to add the part of sanity,
yeah,
that's a full-time job, definitely. And then entering poetry. I don't know, do you consider yourself a poet? Because when you're having your introductions, you just said you're a writer of life.
You know, I usually feel bad when someone introduces me as Mitch the Poet. My name is Oris Isaria Mitch. No, it's. I know some people would want to do that, but it's like introducing you as Nabuguzi the podcaster.
I think I wouldn't mind it. I don't know.
I told myself it's about, you know, the consistency and what. You know, when you put in work until people identify you with that, then you know you've earned it and you have worked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waking up, by the time someone because I know you're a lawyer, you're practicing and what. But at least everyone who bumps into you,
they never think about the lawyer.
Yeah, part. But they will identify you with the podcast and what. So.
Yeah, like, you know what happened was it this year or last year? I think it was this year, I don't remember. This year, I went out to dine with someone.
Yeah.
And we happened to bump into someone of social media.
Yeah.
I was seeing him for the first time. So when he recognized me, he was like, oh, have you guys been recording? I was like, hey, surely. I can't live a life outside recording. Like, I just have to be getting everyone anytime.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I know it's a bit uncomfortable, but I mean, you've worked for it. You've earned it, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I want to say I'm a spoken word artist, you know, something. Spoken word
for poetry. For your part, if you are looking or talking about the side of Mitch the poet, understand it as misbranding. Because I've noticed, like, the very first person, I don't know about others, but the very first person I saw adding the poet on their name was George the Poet.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it's just someone's stage name.
Yeah.
And then for you, you have maintained your name. So if someone calls you Mr. Poet, you're like, for your side, I would understand. But if someone says Navuguzi, okay, I think the discomfort for me would be the limitation. Because I'm more than that. I don't know.
I'm at a point where I do what I do and I let people define what they feel like. Because I don't limit them, actually. Because whatever I do, people will always attach you or align you wherever they feel like they want you to be. And so I'm just a spoken word artist. So
spoken word artist.
Yeah.
How do you enter this field?
Serendipity. Serendipity?
Yeah.
Like, you set out to discover something, but you end up somewhere. I remember my background is environmental science. We had this climate change boot camp, I think 2017. I was backbenching. I don't even remember what people said in the boot camp, but yeah, we had good food, swimming, we slept nice. I'm serious.
Food is important.
Yeah. But then there is, you know, Kayondo?
Sylvester?
No, some guy is called Kayondo of the Story People. The guy came, and Davis, the poet. That was the first time I was like, okay, I like what these guys do. Then I think mid-year 2017, I usually don't want to share this story. It's a bit embarrassing. So
what happened?
I have a friend. I was going to be his wingman.
Did you take the woman? Let us summarize it.
No, like, not to summarize. Let me tell you how the story happened. Then he's like, okay, there is this girl, but he has a roommate. So your job is to be the wingman and distract us. Like, cool. When I'm forgetting the hostel. When we went, we bounced. But we had another colleague at the same hostel. She's called Kimong. You know Kimong? She's
Kimong
in Gulu.
Evelyn?
Yeah, the phenomenal.
I see her on social media.
So we go to her place to just say hi. Then we find Daniel O'Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Not the comedian. I think he's current in Russia. He used to be with Chitara Nation. Right now he's in Russia.
Oh. Yeah,
Daniel O'Mara.
Him.
Yeah, I think that Friday there was Kelele, so we had to go to Kelele for the first time. I was happy, like I was like, okay, these guys are doing cool things. I remember Luz used to call himself Handsome Stranger. Then I remember Achelam S. He did the piece. It's called Play It Again, Selector. I think that would be my all-time favorite because even after the show, I walked to him. I was like, okay, I like what you do. Is it recorded anywhere? He said no.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it happens every Friday. So when I came back, I bounced. yeah, the next Friday, I gave up. But then somewhere, I was doing my graduate training at NEMA. Then I saw a piece about the environment, some guy called Prince EA. So that's when I was like, I can do this. So I wrote my first piece. It was about the environment. It's called Green Native. Yeah, so I talked to Chimera Hamza. Then I went to Tontoma. Like 32 used to be Kabalagala before its new site where Bika Funda is. Then that night I did something. I remember people were there in the audience. Daphne Arinda, Samantha, the emotional stripper.
Oh yeah.
I remember Alex Chitaka. I remember. Actually, I was reading the piece off my laptop.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how crazy it was. But then...
Were they receptive?
Yeah. You know, I was writing randomly, but it's right now when I go back, after I've acquired this skill and experience, I'm like, oh, actually, this is what the structure was using. This is how it is called and what. But there, I was just someone trying to express themselves.
What was it like for you to grow in the system?
The reality is, being an artist, I've achieved a lot on my lowest. Mm-hmm. Like, there have been series I want to give up on, right? Because I remember 2018, when I graduated in uni, my mom kept asking me, why do you keep going to these things? You know those questions? And I was broke, actually. Like, I was super broke. No, like, I was...
You're fresh from school.
Yay. No, like, I was almost giving up. That's the reality.
Giving up on what?
On poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Then, actually, we even broke up with this babe. So, I had my car 20K. It was my last line of defense. So, this babe tells me she's coming through on a Saturday. Then, Ian of Kelele calls me. He's like, there is this thing at UC, it's called Grand Azania. So I was debating, should I go or not? I looked the other, I was like, you know what, let me go. But while in traffic going to UCU, I usually have a backpack. Right now, lately, things have changed. But I have notebooks. I pulled up my notebook in German and I wrote my Kampala. Yeah, like that piece.
In the taxi?
Yeah. Then when I reached...
Wait. Yeah. So when you pulled out your notebook and wrote down Kampala Echivugeshita Inalinya,
yeah,
were you preparing it as something that you were going to perform at the Grand Azania?
No.
Okay.
No. Because after writing it, I kept it like for 8 months without performing it anywhere.
Were you going back to it to perfect it? Or
no, I didn't know. You just like left it was it? Just a random idea. I wrote, then I kept it. Then after 8 months, I was like, okay, let me try it out. Because actually it's one of those pieces that people know me for. Up to right now, people still appreciate it differently and what. Mm-hmm. Because after I met Andrea Baguma, then he's doing the hook and what. But yeah, I wrote it at one of my lowest points when I had to make a decision to continue doing the art or not. But I don't regret, because after that, I went to Grand Azania. I was excited because I was like, okay, these are 600 people in one room. It is in Koyoyo Hall. It was full. I did. I had a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember on that night I met Nsubuga Muhammad. And he has been a brother up to right now. Like, he's one of those guys I respect in the art and what. And yeah.
You know, you're talking about all these things, and I notice how boring my life has been.
Is it? You've met all these people.
It's not about meeting them. Like, I'm now just forcing myself to start going out. You are talking about Azania. I was at UCU, and for all the 4 years, I may have attended only one Azania. And yeah. I cannot even tell you how many times they used to happen, but I was just detached. My life was swinging between lecture room and my hostel.
No, But I relate because for all the years I was at Makere, I got to know about Kelele when I was almost finishing uni, so, yeah.
Was it because of detachment from what's happening or was it you just didn't know? Because I used to hear about it.
I didn't know about Kelele.
I think for me, what made have happened was I was introduced to the literature space when I was about to leave campus.
Oh.
That I think that would be my valid-ish story. The problem, and I told this to, I don't know if I really explained it to Afroetry, but when she released her book, I couldn't buy it. Because why am I reading poetry? You see that?
Yeah,
even when it came to Kagai, I didn't buy his book.
But I
bought the CD. When it broke, I went and bought another one.
Yeah.
Like, I would understand it more when someone is performing and I am pulled into their emotions or whatever they are trying to communicate to me.
Yeah.
But then I had to sit down with myself. I think Afroetry released her book last year.
Yeah, sure.
But then after that part, when I told her that, I was like, so what is the problem? Because even if I have a Nigerian friend, he had something written and he was like, you have a beautiful voice, help me voice it. I couldn't. It's like, I don't think that's me. I would feel like I'm just pretending to be someone else.
Yeah.
Because the way someone conveys their emotions in a poem, I don't think we can interpret it the same way if it's written. That is me.
Okay, the way I write, the way I write for stage is different if I was writing a book.
Okay.
No, because the structure or style I use is unconventional. And what? Because I'm referencing, I'm punchlining, I'm doing double entendres and what. So even if I'm writing it in a book, at least I will try to put like another word, you know, because let me give an example. I'm like, Nabuguzi is like Tirupati, Mazimamo, whatever it is. No, she has so many flows.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Oh.
So even if I'm using the flows, I'll try to put the flows such that someone can easily get it, like. Something like that, but yeah.
Yeah, but then, so what I was trying to drive to was my realization that my introduction to poetry was through class.
Oh.
Literature classes.
Yeah.
It was examinable.
Yeah.
Actually, in primary, it was not literature. It was just English or composition or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember there was a poem on a dog in... What is that famous place in Makere where people stay?
Chikoni.
There was a dog in Chikoni and it was, I don't know, it wasn't well fed and things like that. And we had to answer questions. And then we get to senior one. Their things are examinable. And everyone is telling you, okay, when you advance, when you take up literature, you're going to get to a point where they're going to tell you to write a poem. And I was like, ha. No. Yeah. And they're like, it is hard. Until they tell you to interpret things. And I was like, hey, no. So I think that's what I realized. I was like, I think my challenge might not just be the conveyance of emotions, but the fear that I'm not good enough. I won't know what I'm actually doing. So if someone does something I can listen to and buying into it. But then there is now your side.
Yeah.
Because you've also mentioned the part that you write differently or even how you perform is unconventional. How do you get to choose Luganda? I've seen you do Lusoga, of course.
You know,
but I think mostly Luganda has been taking up shape.
I was born in Masaka, actually. No, my parents are civil servants, but yeah, I was born in Masaka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so West Uganda Diocese and what. So Luganda has always been around, but at least one thing they did is the moment you enter house, it's purely Lusoga. Like everything else is, you know. The reason why I told you Kampala, we are going back, because it was the first Luganda piece I wrote.
The first Luganda piece?
And I wasn't comfortable sharing it. And I shared it 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, actually people can, you know. Then I wrote Le Kamba and Julia. Then, yeah, pieces have been coming. And you asked me, why did I, or how did I?
How did you get to choose it? Because everyone, okay, I don't want to say everyone.
Yeah.
But you would mostly be looking at the wider audience. You know, even when I'm writing posts for myself, when I'm writing posts on Facebook, I'm thinking about the different people that could be following me on social media. I'm like, oh, a Kenyan will not understand this. A Nigerian will not understand this. Someone from Zambia might not. So I was finding myself in a position where I was confining myself to only English until I realized when these Kenyans are writing Swahili, they don't care.
I try to understand, like the way I'm telling you, the manifest has shaped me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way I write the pieces, I'm here writing, but I'm seated in your position watching as well. Like I try to write for the people. I'm not from, okay, there are some I write for myself, but I try to write for the people and what. Because I was at Sofa Chigali and I was doing 30 minutes. I was doing an all English set and what. I've performed for English audiences, but when I did the piece Le Kamba and Julie, I was leaving, because it was my second Luganda piece, I was leaving National Theatre like 1 a.m. I was walking to get a border be around Electoral Commission. A border guy stopped me. He was like, Nkumanyi. I was like, Tomanyi. Then the guy had to pull out his phone. He's like, this is you. He was like, so that is the best review I've had. I was like, okay, now, of all people, this is a random.
That's wild.
And the age, he was like 40-something. So I felt happy. Then I can also give you an example. Sunday, I was around town. Then I had to go see my mom, so I boarded a taxi to Mutungo.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an old taxi, and when we reached City Square, the gas was done. So you know how taxis be there, like in Syndicam, the other guy comes and what. So we had to go like that from City Square to Petro, like the Petro down here after KCB Bank.
That's quite, that's a lot.
Now, I was seated at the front. I had my cape and glasses on. So after putting in refueling, the conductor was let me pump.
Uh-huh.
Then I stepped out because I was sitting at the front. While I was getting back, a random dude in the back of the taxi, I didn't turn to see them. He was like, hey, I'm torn to me. Maybe you're going to be one.
Oh my goodness.
In my head, I was like, so this is how people view a mom. I'm supposed to write about.
And you know, it's an interesting thing that you brought out that concept or that side of your experience in the, should I say, the audience?
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask you, when you put up that, you said something about how Rolex people do not work on.
Is it
Christmas holidays? What? Who thinks about that? And I wanted to ask you, how attentive do you have to be with society's happenings to have to create your art?
Now, when you're starting anything, it's it's you're naive, you don't know things, but it is inspiration and what, mm-hmm. and the drive, the hunger, the passion, all the things are pushing you, your writing and what. But, you know, you're a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
You're at a point in, even when you're having a conversation or you're out there, you look at someone and you're like, I would love to have this person. Yeah. Somehow, subconsciously, your brain has been tuned towards that. So over the time, should I say muscle memory? Or I can give you an example. There is I always wanted to write a piece about taxi drivers.
Mm-hmm.
No, like the whole taxi experience and what.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to start. So one time I was helping out a friend. He's called Wycliffe here, with his data collection in Mabira.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are on a border from Najembe. The border is taking us to where we're going to collect our data from. We start having a conversation about taxis. Then out of nowhere, the conversation twists to like, you know how stages have those people? They don't have specific jobs, but all they do is to pretend like they are passengers.
Yeah.
Like my mind switched. Like I switched off the conversation. I was smiling. I was like, this is it. I never told him. But I was seated on the border, but I was like, yeah, this is what I was waiting for.
Is it?
Yeah, because we call them like taxi influencers. No, like, it was the, but I was happy. And
influencers?
No, like everyone.
Oh my God, I had never thought of
that. But that is the reality. But you've seen them. Like you find a taxi.
But they're rough. They fight for us.
No, I'm just saying, just imagine you're on stage. Leave alone those who fight. You enter a taxi, five people come, the first one steps out, the second one, then the other one, as if he's going to buy a banana, hey, so compared, then they leave, you're like, we thought the taxi was full.
Right.
So that was just the clear, I was like, yeah, this was, like, I felt happy, so.
The part of taxi influencer is just funny.
Yeah, so when it comes, like when it comes, you know, when I was writing that piece, Sawa Musanvu,
mm-hmm.
there was a point I was writing. I think Asawa Musanvu, that is the real me. That is the natural me without experience or putting skill and what.
I think people love that. They were asking for it.
I wrote it. Then after, I was like, I don't want to mess this up. After like the second stanza, I left the pen. I went and walked around the neighborhood like for 40 minutes. I was happy. There are some pieces you write, you're like, this is it.
Phenomenal.
No, like, there are some pieces I feel for this manifest, the piece Kazigom Jensula, like, I was like, yo, this is it. No, like, I have some, my neighbors there, but I was like, I have this idea and what and what. But the thing that struck me most, because we are four people in,
mm-hmm.
Three guys and one lady. And unfortunately, we are all single, yeah.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
We need to work on embracing love, but yeah, all of us are single and stuff. No, but one time...
give yourselves time.
One time, yeah.
But it's only one lady.
No, yo, we are not doing that. No way. That's not okay. No, but before, there was a lady who was a neighbor.
Yeah.
So like we're having random conversations. You know how... I know this is rated PG. Like, I don't know if this is... Am I supposed to say this?
Let me hear it.
Like, okay, don't cut it out. Like, no, this is super weird. But the way I thought, I was like, okay, it's a random conversation. Like, you know how a babe shows up at your place, she has no clothes, she's just putting on your T-shirt or boxers and that and that. Then you have this one lady, we are like, so what happens when a guy also comes? We are like, does she give him some of the dresses and the what? So I was like, okay, actually now this is like, yeah, things are happening, but I'm like, okay, think about it. So we're having a conversation. I switched off. I'm like, yeah, I need to do Mkazigo Jensula.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I do. I have conversations and I'm attentive.
Because you went that specific part when you talked about the Rolex, it's like, was he looking for a Rolex on Christmas?
Yeah.
You were?
Let me tell you, on some days, okay, let it not even be Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
On any other days.
Any other day? Like, I think you walk every day.
No, not working days, like festive days or what. There is any day we are celebrating special holidays and what. And those guys are not
like
working.
Liberation Day, they don't work?
No, they work, but Easter break or what. You know, they also try to break off, go to the villages and what and what.
I'd never thought about it.
I
think now Christmas is. But let me wait for Easter. Because Easter is next month.
Okay, let me paint for you a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat Rolexes?
I last ate one last year and I got really, really sick. Ever since then, I'm so scared. But then it was not...
This is the most redundant thing I've heard.
Oh, get out.
I'm serious.
Get out. No, so someone was blaming me for eating what is not a Rolex.
What was that?
So this kind of Rolex, they put lettuce, mayonnaise, I think.
Yeah.
And then I think it had chicken as well.
That is neocolonialism. It should be basic and stuff.
So it had all those things and I got really sick for a couple of days.
Oh, sorry.
Really, really sick. And ever since then I was like, hey man.
Now, imagine you go to your Rolex guy, you're used to them and they have no fire. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you
like in the stove?
Yeah, in the charcoal stove. Imagine the disappointment you feel.
The world has ended.
You're like, yo. You know, there are those small things.
You'd give me an example of my pork guy. I would understand that. Sorry to the Muslims.
Imagine the people who I used to. Imagine woke up one day and Chadondo is no longer there.
I wouldn't mind.
No, there are guys who always go there.
Yeah, I know about that. But for me, I wouldn't.
No, right now, they don't. But a scenario. Somehow, you know, things are there until it's not there. Then subconsciously, you're like, okay, this was...
The world has ended.
No, there is even a line I used that was like, the feelings I have for you are the same feelings I have when my Rolex guy starts cutting the second tomato.
Yeah, you said that.
So,
But I couldn't relate.
No, for anyone who has had a Rolex, you know how...
How many tomatoes do they have to be?
No, man, it's small. Like, they even... They are small pieces. So by the time someone finishes one and they are cutting the second, and they're like, okay, this is so good.
This is kind.
Yeah, this is kind. So that happiness, those things you don't take for granted, but you look at it, you're like, yo, this is fulfilling and good. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you come to dear friend.
Ah, dear friend.
Yeah.
I usually tell people I don't write from the heart. I write from the brain. I operate things creatively, but for the past last year towards the end, 3 months I wasn't in Kampala. Like mm-hmm. I would come back, have a show, go back and watch. Then when I came back, all these people were like, "Yo, I need to see you here. I need to see you." Then I was like, "How did I reach this point where I need to schedule appointments to see everyone?" Even my mom, she's like, "Yo, I've not seen you in a while."
Yeah,
I'm like, how did I reach at this point where I need to schedule appointments actually? And I work towards them to see people and what. And I was a friend of mine is called Daniel. Yeah, he already shows up for the manifest. He went and posted. He was like, "If someone you're no longer friends, then they weren't your friends in the first place."
Is it?
No, like that is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was like, "We don't outgrow friendships." And I was like, "No,
you do."
I don't know, man. It's up to the people. opinions are welcome. That's what he said.
I'd love to ask that question. I think.
Yeah. So when I sat down, I'm like. Yeah, we are growing up and so many things. This is something there are those friends, everything was good. It's just that now you're no longer talking and what, like no bad blood, no bad energy or what, but things are just like that.
Yeah. So you're all taken out by life.
And I focused on it. I was like, okay, yeah, life is really happening. If it reaches to a time where I need to schedule and what, I was like, yeah. Then, Jan, we met up with a few uni friends.
Jan this year.
But the guys were happy. They were like, "We should do this more oftenly, I was like, okay, yeah, this is. Then I had to write Dear Friend, because there is a line I said. I was like, the plan is to have many mirrors in my house, because sometimes it is good to surround yourself with people that match your energy.
It felt vain. That was vain.
The reality is, I wanted to. I would have written it. I was like, I don't want to have mirrors in my house. Because I don't want to surround myself with negative people.
Oh my God.
No, like,
Oh my God. Wait. Ooh. Now that speaks to how negative or harsh we are on ourselves.
You know,
isn't it?
So life is happening fast for everyone. Like, that's the reality. Because I sat down and this is, I was writing from the heart, actually. There are those pieces I'm like, you know what? I'm writing for myself, but it's like a message to all my friends out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never knew. Some pieces I do communicate and what. Because when I wrote Omukade Anzala, I was writing it to all moms, but I told you my mom is heavy on TikTok. So there is a line I said, I'm like, chinechitonto menchije kumoyo. Tomanya wenafu na akadenja chikuwelezo chisome. Zomuchifoche chitonto mesingo mpamu sente dobo zijondi ulida. I love my mom. Like, yeah. for real. But you rather give her money than gift her or buy a cake or what? Like, that's her. That's her. No, I'm serious. Like, it's called needs assessment. It is a needs assessment. You rather give her money than buy a cake and what?
Because she knows what she needs.
Yeah, she knows. So then she called me. She's like, I like the piece. I saw it. No, because the following day we had like some functions in the village. So I sent her money. I was like, okay, this one and that and that. She's like, hey, so you're not going to send me money? I was like, yo. So there are some pieces because there was a point someone called me a depressed Ugandan. I was like, is it?
What could have inspired them? What poem was it?
Those who know me, I usually to write light stuff, but the reality is, from the first Luganda piece I wrote, Kamuchibuga, Echibuga Chitaina Linya, like I was on my lowest. So, like, my inspiration comes from the dark points. Like, I'm so low, and I'm trying to reflect. Man. I'm like, how do I come up with to try to. To make the mood light or the message and work.
It's a good thing you did not write it the way how you had imagined. The mirror beat? Like, oh my God.
No, like the mirror beat would have gone either. But I was
that was going to be so dark. Like,
I was
shit.
Like, but.
Ooh. No. Oh my God. But you know, I had a time.
Yeah.
Where I was trying to crawl out of darkness.
Yeah.
And I landed on this lady. I've spoken about her a couple of times on the podcast, yeah. Lisa Nichols. And she was talking about how she started her healing journey.
Yeah.
And some of the things that she was doing were that mirror exercise, where you look at yourself in the mirror and have these three prompts. I love myself for. And it's followed by seven things. I'm proud that, followed by seven things. And I forgive myself for, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking at myself in the mirror, looking for why I love myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would always be confused. It's like, I love myself. So I would try to... Like, I'll try to guess. Okay, maybe because I know how to dance. Okay, so just to make sure that you feel the seven spaces.
Yeah.
And then where it really hit was the part of forgiveness. And I've spoken this in the introduction of season 5.
Yeah.
That It is easy to point fingers at people that have wronged you. But how many times do you sit with yourself and look at the number of times you wronged yourself? That was nasty. I used to cry my eyes red.
Because I think self-improvement starts with self-acceptance. Yeah, because when you listen to Dear Friend, like there is a line I also said, I was like, lately I've come to realize people who are always happening and turning up are actually sad in real life. And they are in constant pursuit of happiness, trying to distract themselves from the actual reality of life. Like, I have friends, I'm sorry to judge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you look at them, you're like, actually, yeah, they have things figured out and that and that. But then when I sat to have real conversations, like heart to heart, and someone is like, yo, at some point I had suicidal thoughts, I was like, what? You know, so the sad people actually, they are not in homes, man. The sad people are in clubs standing up and at all those happening places and we're trying to escape whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And now that brings us also to where you're like, was it a resume? Where someone has to list hobbies and you're like, how come you did not add acting? Because you're very good at acting like everything is going good. Yet it's not as like, oh, come on now.
Okay.
Come on now. Mind your business.
No, you know, I saw a post. I'm forgetting how the headline was, but it was like, I am okay about something like that. The caption is actually the real problem. I'll try to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to speak from the heart, but I was trying to be creative with it. Like, it's sad, but I wanted people to appreciate it creatively. They're like, okay, yeah, this is, he just did that, the wordplay and what, but it's a show up, man. I know this is your 50th season.
It is.
But the reality, I think you've had like 2 seasons at your lowest, but you kept 2 showing seasons? Up and what.
That's a lot.
Like 1, 3, 4?
A whole season?
No, like you've had some episodes. Like,
yeah, there are episodes. The seasons
at your lowest.
I have.
Yeah.
While editing and also doing the intros.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So I had to.
Man, no, like it's.
I had to learn compartmentalize. Oh, Jesus. That word always plays me. Compartmentalization. That one. I tried. Yeah. I'm not going to say it again.
I can relate. Yeah. Hopefully your parents don't tap this. No, like you see, your tuition is too much.
They weren't teaching English. Get out.
You're a lawyer.
Compartmentalization. That one.
Yeah.
I've had to learn that when it comes to the podcast. Because there are some Tuesdays, because for the longest period, Tuesdays have been my editing days.
Oh, yeah.
I don't put any program on it. Like, just I know I have to edit. Give it time. Maybe doing the final touches to an episode and things like that.
Yeah.
But I've had moments where I'm from really, really crying.
Oh.
But then I have to sit through an episode and edit it because Wednesday is coming. I don't want to be the person that is giving excuses. And then I focus on that and we're done. You're like, oh, yeah, managed. Because I would know for sure to be, I've looked at myself and I know the things that really hit me. So if I'm at my lowest and I still don't do what I love, I'll start feeling like I'm my own enemy.
No, like what I usually do is actually sometimes you might even tend to deliver. Okay, I know it might affect you, but the fact that you're trying to distract yourself, mm-hmm. you try to deliver more. You're locked in, you're like, you know what, let me just focus on this and forget the other things. So
it's not even forgetting. It is that distract, I know I'm supposed. It's I not know. Even that distraction. Like, it's a thing of, I am supposed to do this. Then we cry again after. But sometimes I'm always, by the time I'm done, I'm like, look at him even.
Now I think all the what? All the listeners know your skincare routine, but yeah. Guys, when you get some time, cry. It's good for the skin.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, it's
the good, salt.
It's good skincare routine, yeah.
You're saying I'm crying every time.
No, once in a while. Not every day. Yeah.
Let us talk about Mitch's manifest. We cannot live without having a conversation about it. How does it come into creation? What's the dream behind it?
I've always wanted to do it. Like, when I was talking to Kagai, like 2020, I was like, okay, in June 2020, I want to do a show at National Theater and stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, 2020
COVID.
Happened.
COVID.
But I didn't write anything in COVID. All I did was, you know what, wake up, eat, sleep, stay alive. Like, that's all I did. Like, it goes back to after every show, I usually walk. Yeah, I'm trying to review what went wrong and what it's like.
Immediately?
No, even if after the show. Now, I was the last person to leave at the manifest. I think I reached home like 2 a.m., something like that. But after everything is done and what I try to walk, I'm like, okay.
Immediately after the show?
Yeah. At least
you were the people that were asking us what answer did you put on that question in school. You're those people.
No. I'm not a perfectionist, but I'm like, okay, if it is done and done, by the time I sleep, I'll be planning other things and what. It's like I try. When I did Vumbula Uganda, I'm doing a show. Then before I go on stage, the DJ starts playing AK-47 songs because Chameleon is the backstage waiting. Then in the middle of my set, he comes out and he screams. You know how DJs be to hype the event? I felt so bad, like so bad.
In the middle of your set?
Then I was like, do I even really to come here? First of all, I'm not getting... paid a lot, then people are not paying the attention I want. And then even the people on the team are not collaborating and what. I walked from museum to town, but that was all on my mind. I was like, you know what? I need to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a proposal to Goethe Zentrum. They didn't respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 3 months they didn't, you know, the email and that. But I kept pushing and that. So after the show, I remember because at the same time I was at MOOC, I was doing my master's. So because 2020, I graduated in May 2022. But at the same time, I was working on my EP. And I told myself, I cannot release the EP before I graduate. I don't want to look unserious, you know. So the day I had like a listening event for the EP, the people responded to my email. They were like, okay, we are giving you and what, this is the date we have and what. I said, okay, yes, let us do it. So the manifest, it was just a one-off show. I was like, okay, let me just do this one. But the whole idea was like, all I wished for was coming into existence. I'm going to have my own show. People are going to be there. Whoever comes, they've come to listen to me.
Right.
So that's how I come up with the concept Mitch's Manifest. And whoever, hey, they're like, oh, this is cool. So I did the first one. The reality is we did Basement. In my head, I was like, okay, if 50 people come, well and good. If 80 people come, it will be a win.
How many were we for this fifth one?
140.
Is it?
I don't know. But in my head, the way I push the show, I'm like, okay, 50 people, I have 50 people, then the show can happen. I'm like, other 30 can come from wherever they heard about it and what and what. But then on that day, like, people came, people stood. We had to bring in more headsets.
Yeah.
I was like, yo.
And seats as well.
No, like, I'm telling you, the first one.
Oh, the very first
one. The very first one. Then I was like, okay, we need to go to National Theatre. Like, I had no plan.
Yeah.
No, like, I had no plan. Then we did National Theatre. It was good. But I was like, how do I make this sustainable? I was like, okay. Then after the first one, I was like, I did a show and I didn't record anything.
Ooh. Yeah.
I felt bad. Then I was like, okay, let me do National Theatre and I record. So the whole idea of National Theatre was to record.
Mm-hmm.
Then people came. Then I'm like, how do I make this better? I told myself, okay, for every manifest, I need to be sharing new content. People, the pressure that comes with it, it pushes me to write. So I was like, okay, let me... Earlier, while I was starting, I used to share a few pieces with people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it go through stages. I share with Nabuguzi. I share with someone. I'm like, how is it? Then a point reached, I was like, I really don't care. I will sit, come up with something. I'll go to the manifest and do it. So,
How is it?
Yeah.
So, if you had given me your work and you asked me, how is it? I wouldn't know what to say. Like, where do I tell you to improve? You understand? I wouldn't know.
No.
So, do you give it to fellow poets?
Yeah.
Because
if
it's someone like me, like, dude, I think everything will just go. Like,
now you see, literally the moment I sit on a border B, I give my opinion like randomly, and the guy will tell me anything. Up, you know, like 40 minutes. Sometimes after I'm done paying, the guy is still engaging in the conversation.
Yeah.
like 2 minutes. I'm like, you know what? I need to go. And then, so I was like, okay. The way you said, I'm trying to work on my reading culture, but I'm more into conversations and that and that. So I was like, let me try to use the manifest, because how the manifest happens is actually I write the manifest only has like 40% Luganda, then like 60% English, or 40% or 30% local dialect. So, because as I'm doing a set for Uganda, what I'm also trying to push globally or what to some audiences and what and what.
That part. And I asked you before we started this recording,
yeah,
whether that pressure wouldn't derail you from the art, where you feel like, oh, come on now.
At the moment you cross over to doing something professionally, I can bring it to you as a scenario. The moment how you treat this podcast professionally, you don't have to do it because you feel good or the inspiration. I mean, it is a job, you have to show up. Like how Kaga said, you're a writer first. You don't have to wait for inspiration to come. Your job is a writer, so write. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure, I know. Because you know how we operate. Under intense situations, your brain is super active. And what.
Because you have to survive.
So once in a while, we need a pressure. Though sometimes when the pressure can...
To create the diamonds.
Yeah.
How do you take care of your mental health?
And food. You guys, once in a while, eat nice food. Food is good. I'm serious. Food.
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why my face is like that? Like, because I cope with stress with food, and it's not good. So when you say food, I'm like, oh my God, we may not be.
No, stress and hunger. Whatever, stronger, maybe. Stronger is so bad. You don't need to be there. But our life goes on, you know. But lately, I'm grateful. The small wins and what and what.
Does that mean you journal?
No.
So how do you take care of your mental health?
I have terrible thoughts. I wouldn't have someone to read through them and what. But I go easy on myself. I have conversations. I walk around. I experience life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is then self-acceptancy. Like once in a while, things go bad and what and what. But also, I usually tell people, when you focus on poetry for the money, it can be depressing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're around poetry spaces, it is healing. So once in a while, I just go as a fan and I'm having these conversations and what and yeah.
Yeah. And what message would you love to leave the listener? Would you want this person to walk away with?
Forgive yourselves. Then I know this might be a bit negative and what hoping for the best but expecting the worst. Like it's called risk management or disaster management, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But too much hope can kill. So once in a while, keep those hopes in check. Then whatever you believe, you know what, be part of something. Go to church or what, or be part of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and food, guys. Have food, eat food.
This is dangerous. That is dangerous advice for someone who uses food.
Stronger, like that is stress and hunger. I wouldn't wish that on someone. but no, like eat healthy.
Yeah, like what I'm trying to communicate here is that when I am stressed, like if someone is an emotional eater, what happens is that they don't have to be hungry. It is just them running away from their thoughts and they're using food.
Okay.
See that? So that's why I'm like, disclaimer.
you win some, you lose some. Let me give you a scenario.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have you like this than having you starved like for a month or what.
So. You get out of my face, my dear. I'm going to work on my size. I'm not going to eat.
Guys who don't know Nabuguzi, like, yeah. I'm not complimenting you. I'm not doing that.
Like, what is he going to say now?
But yeah, she looks good. So,
I'm going to look hotter. Wait.
Climate change is going to happen. Nabuguzi is planning to deplete her ozone layer. So whoever is planning to bump into her next year, she's going to look hotter. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. And guys, we need to appreciate her because archiving these conversations, we don't know, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, someone will learn something from her. Engage in the conversations below. We build on those comments and what. Yeah.
Sure.
And when we put out a call for our open podcast, you guys make sure I book the tickets. We are manifesting, guys. It is going to happen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mitch.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us to the very end. If you have loved this episode, I invite you to do me a favor. Yes, I need your favor to hit the subscribe button wherever you have listened in from, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. That one is closing. As of now, it should be winding up. They're packing bags. They're leaving the podcasting industry. So let us repeat this. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, oh my God, the others allowed me. Radio Republic, Castbox, there are so many podcast platforms, but where